One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 107. Oh, we're back again. Oh, so heavy on a weeknight. We are in the bunker. It is the One Man Revolution podcast. Oh, man.
Finally.
You know, this government shutdown is really starting to piss me off. You know, the computer over there just wouldn't stream. Just not for the life of it. It's like it's a federal employee or something over there.
No, the difference is if it was a federal employee, it'd still be working.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Without pay.
Without pay. It has been 1 year and 363 days since the current regime has taken power. It will, next time we speak to you, be two.
I have a proposal. I have a proposal. When we flip the 2 year point, we begin a countdown to Election Day.
The opposite direction?
It is 1 year and so many days until Election Day.
I like that.
I like that.
Flip it around so y'all can be prepared so nobody has a surprise.
Right. Hold on. Sorry, there's a little buzz.
There's a buzz. I still have it.
I know it's in that. It's in there somewhere.
It's fine. Yeah. It doesn't show up in the recording. We don't care.
I know it doesn't.
So, things we're not going to talk about this week, the wall. But we can talk about so many other things.
Hamburgers.
The president, as a billionaire, going so far out of his way to show a bunch of young, impressionable men a really excellent time in the White House.
Oh, boy.
He was so proud of that.
So what we are, of course, speaking about is the national champion.
The Clemson Tigers.
Clemson Tigers.
One's for my sister.
Yeah, it's the One Man Revolution speech impediment to deal with to deal with the Tigers.
If you know any South Carolina fans, they would understand. But you know what, before we get into that,
yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit.
I'm drinking a Gansett.
Get it.
Damn, yeah. I'm having a hard time.
I don't even know. What am I drinking?
Twice. Three times.
This has been sitting
four
here
times
so
charming.
Long.
Times
a mayday.
Four times. Oh, come on. You got it.
Jesus.
It's a rough one. It just doesn't want to do it.
All right.
So turn the bottle.
No.
Yeah. There it goes.
And it works. I have the left-hand peach beer Lini.
Yeah, I'm drinking Gansett.
I have a holy mackerel called a panic attack.
How do you feel about that beer?
Hey, it's fine. This is 2015. This is great.
It's aged?
Apparently so.
Here, can I have a pull off that before you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not too bad. It's very...
So it says it's a Belgian triple with Saison.
And as somebody who normally drinks Bud Light, it's got a lot more flavor than that. So
you're really branching.
Oh, it's
out
a triple Ori.
Yeah, you. Whatever. Strike. Take it. Whatever.
That's a triple.
That's fine.
No, you're really branching out there, and we are quite proud of you, Thespian, for actually drinking real.
That
beer.
Was so good. I knocked my microphone.
Honestly,
out.
Though, I'm not gonna lie. That beer is kind of odd. It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah, it does. It wants to be a Belgian triple
with some saison
but it's
elements.
Not.
No, it's. You're still
okay.
Sorry.
Regardless, I still enjoyed it, and it was on sale. So
no, it's good.
It's fine.
It's good.
It's better than the other things that I have had here. So
there we go. I'm back.
Whatever. There you go.
Yeah, my cable was loose.
Yeah.
The black
so,
one.
My question about our what we there were we discussing before we opened our beers. Okay, so did anybody calculate how much the president dropped on these
nobody's
takeout
really tried.
Food things?
How
because
much?
I wonder,
You know, it really doesn't matter how much he spent, by the way.
Oh, but I...
He took it out of his own pocket. That's what he said.
Right, but I feel like he didn't actually spend that much, if you're thinking about it.
If I were to take a guess...
If he's going to fast food restaurants...
From the stack of food that was there, and there was a good stack of food.
And it was all cold and not to temp and at all. But yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a guess. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Oh. I'm gonna guess $1,200.
$1,200?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess $1,200.
See, if you had asked me,
yeah,
I would have said $1,100.
Yeah.
Now, based on this website called For the Win, which is a sports blog,
right,
from USA Today, they tabulated 48 Big Macs, 42 fillet of fish, 54 quarter pounders, 48 six-piece nuggets, 32 side salads, 52 chicken go wraps from Wendy's, 32 salads, 30 junior bacon cheeseburgers, 30 Whoppers from Burger King, and they came up with a grand total of $860.
That's
really less than a G.
This motherfucker is a billionaire.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know why he did this, by the way? The reason he says that he did this is because he could not use the White House kitchen.
Sure.
Because, well, no one's there.
Right.
Because of the shutdown. They're all furloughed.
Did you know, fun fact, actually, a lot of people don't know this. If the president hosts an event in the White House, even if they use White House staff, the president's wages pay for it.
Right. But the president, that's why we've only had, like, what, one state dinner so far?
Correct.
Yeah, we've had one.
In the... 2 years.
In the 2 years, yes.
Yeah. In the 1 year and 363 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Because he's a cheap ass.
Yeah, he is. Son of a bitch. He's a cheap son of a bitch.
Well, no, that's saying something about his mother.
I don't know his mother.
Well, but I'm saying that let's
but
not
she raised him.
Let's not say
to be frugal.
To be frugal. Look how frugal he is. And he see again. I think this goes back to something. I had a discussion about this the other day with a group of elderly friends of mine, and they said, and I asked the question, the very simple question of, you know, do you think he actually has any friends?
No.
Now, do you want to know why he doesn't have any friends? You know how hard it would be for young Donnie to make friends when he's 8 years old and already a millionaire because his family gave him that money at that young age.
His father orchestrated it as a tax dodge.
Right, right. But he had the money.
I'm imagining, what was that movie?
Blank Check.
No.
Richie Rich?
Oh. Richie Rich, that's the one, yeah.
Both of those.
But Richie Rich had...
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin. There you go.
He had friends.
Yeah, but he had friends.
He bought his friends.
Right, but that's the problem. So here's this... Look, think of how sad this really is.
Oh, yeah.
How much of a deplorable person he is.
Basket of deplorables.
He is. I mean, and it's so sad. I really feel for him because look at this. This person has never had anyone who will give an opinion to him as to what's right or wrong. Like... Hey, button your jacket, because people when they
because a good friend will call you on your stuff. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't drink 12 Diet Cokes a day. Hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't. You know, maybe you know we should go out and do something fun together.
So I totally understand where you're coming from with that. Yeah. I'm a little bit torn on feeling sympathetic for the man because.
Oh, he's a monster.
It's self-fulfilling because I guarantee you he has had people in his life that had the opportunity to give him an opinion.
Michael Cohen.
From a position of respect, from a position of like peer level input, you know, like, hey, we're here together.
Right.
Maybe don't do these things. Maybe be a good person. And what he said was something along the lines of, no, I know better than you because I'm a Trump and I'm going to do it the way I do it.
Right,
and then he lost a chance at a real friend.
Right,
so he burned that. I guarantee you, he's burned these bridges in his life.
Well, of course he has, but it's like he was set up to fail.
He was. He was not raised to be a good human. He was raised to be a piggy bank.
Right, a place for his dad to put money.
Yeah,
and what did he do?
He did.
Well, he lost all that money.
Look at his
act of rebellion.
He abused the privileges he was given.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I don't necessarily think it was an act of rebellion as much as it was self-delusion based on how he was raised.
Right.
Because if you were raised in an environment where you're given millions and millions of dollars every year as a normal thing, that's just your normal thing. Yeah. Like your allowance. here, Donnie, here's $5 million for 1972. You know, like that's your allowance for the year.
Yeah.
That you don't, money has no real value. So if you lose a half a billion dollars,
right,
you don't know what it means. If you make $1 billion, you don't know what it means. All you know is you like to brag and you like to be put on lists and you like to make fake phone calls in a false voice to pretend that you're on a list to Forbes. And that's it.
Right.
And then because there's no value in that, you go on to brag and pretend like you're winning all of these things and that's all the value you have in life,
right,
is braggadocio. It's this idea that I'm showing off for the rest of the world to be jealous of me. When nobody wants to be jealous of you, we want you to succeed as a leader.
Right.
And you're not.
So that brings me to the other side of my argument on this. So here he is. He spends $800. He goes out, and what does he say?
Look,
on Twitter.
Look, I spent my own money because the government is shut down.
Right. I spent my money because of that. And look how wonderful I am, and look how great I am, and these boys loved it.
Oh yeah, no, he honestly believes that he treated them to the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, silver candelabras, lit candles, in the White House,
Big Macs
with cold fast food. Now I said cold fast food, and according to the older folks that I was hanging out with, because they watch a whole lot more
Fox News
than I do, they said no, it was all hot and fresh. And I'm like, well, but you're looking at the pictures that were being put up. How could it possibly be hot and fresh when it has to be brought there, delivered, stacked up like that, and put, by the way,
on display?
It would have been hot and fresh if it would have come in the front door and they just handed it to the kids on the way through.
Absolutely.
But when you want a big photo op, just like he did at the wall, just like he did, you know, just like he's done on everything he's done, bringing out those giant things of folders of paper, his first week in office.
To be seen doing a thing.
Yes. To be seen doing a thing.
Now, if you take two steps back, for those of you who don't follow football, you might not know this. College football, especially on the level of a Clemson or an Alabama or an Ohio State, those kids eat so well.
Oh, yeah.
They have personalized menus for every day of their life during the entire year. It's not even just the football season. It is the off season as well, because the school has invested in their student athletes. And they will make sure that their athletes are well fed and in good health at all times.
That's right.
So these kids going in and getting fast food isn't a treat, because they're not your average college student. They're not paying for meals. They're being fed incredibly high quality food constantly.
Yep. Because they are at a high level athlete.
Correct.
High level athlete.
They are championship quality athletes.
Yeah. Fuel.
They are the next pro.
Whatever.
Pro football players.
And to treat them as if they were the average college student, they walked in and they went, really?
Of course. But
and my personal favorite, the Trevor Lawrence thing,
where they said,
you see that?
Yeah, where basically there was an article that was published out that said that Trevor was very happy with the food. And then another article comes out where it's him and he's being interviewed. He's like, look, I don't know where that quote came from at all. I didn't say any of that.
So context here, right? Trevor Lawrence is a 19-year-old college freshman.
Oh yeah.
And he played out of his mind, and basically he was quoted as saying something along the lines of quote, President Trump got all our favorite foods. It was the best meal we ever had. Then we go and see the coastal elite media trashing it for not being organic vegan. We're football players, not bloggers. This was perfect. This was a perfect blue-collar party.
Right.
What 19-year-old talks like that?
Yeah.
None of them.
And I
interact with them on a daily basis.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he went out and he tweeted actively, quote, I never said this, by the way. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
However, the trip to the White House was awesome. So. Yeah. Very polite, well done for him, but here we have the quote-unquote, you know, grassroots organization media faking tweets from...
But who did that sound like? That quote sounded a lot like how the president talks.
Yeah, right. It sounded like Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coastal elite media?
Yeah.
What?
What 19-year-old thinks of that? Like...
I've never even heard that phrase.
There are some, but I've never heard coastal elite. I've heard like East Coast, but you can't say East Coast because the Carolinas are on the East Coast. So you can't say East Coast.
They're from
elite.
South Carolina.
Yeah, they're from the Carolinas. So it's not, so you can't say that. You can say Northern. I don't know, but see, that's the whole thing. I don't get it.
I mean, it didn't say fake news, didn't say any of that. It was just.
Yeah.
Also, the president retweeted like a bazillion tweets 3 hours ago.
Okay. Oh, well, I just have to say, as somebody who is a picky eater, I would not have eaten any of that because all of that would have come with some kind of sauce that I wouldn't have wanted.
Big Macs?
Yeah, any of them. Anything.
Secret sauce.
Anything that they had ordered, filet of fish. But also, like, filet of fish, really? Who actually eats filet of fish?
I did. I would like to say that the filet of fish sandwich would be one of the only things on the menu I'd probably eat over there.
It was on my regular cycle when I was in high school until people started getting food poisoning from the tartar sauce. And I was like, no.
Here's what
the president had to say. Great being with the national championship Clemson Tigers last night at the White House. Because of the shutdown, I served them massive amounts of fast food. I paid over 1,000 hamburgers, etc. Within 1 hour, it was all gone.
Yeah.
Great guys and big eaters.
Right.
This sounds like the creepy uncle at Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Walking over and slapping him on the ass.
And just, no kidding. Good clean plate, guys. Good job.
I just feel like. Within the parentheses that I paid. I feel like that's just like a, backhanded slap. Like,
well, it is. It absolutely is.
I feel like that's a petty move that a presidential.
Oh, wait.
What?
You said it was a petty move?
Hmm. Yeah.
He is a petty person.
Right. But at the same time, I feel like that should not be on the presidential level.
But it's 2 years into this administration. Nothing presidential about this guy. Let's face it.
It's a downhill struggle from here. I fully encourage the thespians' complete and utter outrage and aghastness to this because this is not and never should be the accepted norm of the presidency.
No. But we can't expect anything more of him.
Exactly.
I don't care. We should still be pissed about it. Because he makes us all look like clowns.
You know who I would like to expect more of?
I can agree with that. Yes. The thespian? You can expect more of me?
You know who I'd like to expect more of?
What?
The Congress?
Yes, absolutely.
They need to step up, stand up, and realize that they have equal power to the president.
More.
No, they have equal power because
checks and balances.
There are three branches of government.
The legislative, the judicial, and the executive.
So therefore,
that's from the three amigos. Yes.
So now, since we know that, and we need someone to stand up and say those words. Hey, Mr. President, realize the fact that we're going to send you legislation.
Oh yeah.
You're going to not sign it. Fine. You're going to veto it. Fine. You're going to send it back to us. Fine. But guess what? After you send it back to us, we're going to override your veto.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess why?
We can. Yeah.
We are equal to you. We are stronger than you. You know who the weak person is here? Mitch McConnell.
No, it's really fascinating, this entire thing, because in the last 10 days, Mitch McConnell has not...
Hashtag where's Mitch?
Basically what he's done is he has actively rejected bringing proposed Senate Republican bills to the president.
Bipartisan bills.
Yeah. Well, bipartisan in that the Republicans wrote the bill and the Democrats said, yeah, sounds good. Send it on. Let's see what happens.
But they also took the ones from the House.
Correct.
Which is another. So the bills that they have are bipartisan bills.
Absolutely.
Because the House is Democratic.
Yep.
The Senate is not. And it's now they are definitely absolutely bipartisan bills at this time, saying we need to stop injuring our workers, our federal employees, and the Coast Guard, who is for the first time ever, we have a military group that is out there not getting paid. Everyone else is covered by the DOD, by the way, except for the Coast Guard. You know who the Coast Guard stops from coming into the country?
The illegal immigrants and the ports of entry?
Those would be all those things. Yeah, they monitor the ports of entry. They do all. So the one group
that actually controls the border.
That actually controls the border. He took all their money away.
Jesus Christ.
That's the asinine shit that's like, hey guys, really? Like, how is this not a red flag at all?
Right.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Right.
you know, I have a family friend who works in the Coast Guard, yeah. and he is graciously still working without a paycheck. But that's
I'm sure he's graciously working. However, a federal judge has upheld the fact that they have no choice.
Yeah, they have no choice.
They don't have a choice.
Well, there's okay, fine.
Yeah,
but regardless,
that's what their contract says.
I happened to stumble upon the news the other day, and they were talking about
the news happened the other day.
Yeah, but they were talking about how TSA is planning on. Hey, guess what? There are going to be more and more people calling out because they have to find a different means to support their family, and sure. they're all furloughed right now. Yep. So, you know. That's a good thing for our airports.
So here's
air traffic controllers.
There's a really odd compounding problem with this as well. A lot of these furloughed federal employees are seeking unemployment benefits.
Yeah,
because they should because they're
currently unemployed.
They're being told to not come into work and you can't get paid.
So they're going to the state and asking the state for money.
Correct. So we go to our
federal government, right?
Yeah, they go to their local state, county, whatever. They seek unemployment benefits. Part of the process of seeking unemployment benefits is showing that you're actively searching for a job.
Right. Right.
So they are employed.
They're employed.
And they have to show that they're actively searching for a new job, which I find ironic because I keep saying, quit your job, go find a new job.
But you can't quit your job because you're currently only furloughed or...
It's not an at-will thing?
But the part of this is it's kind of a technical law part where it says, yes, you have a job, but currently you are not needed at that job, so we are not paying you. And this can happen at any position. You can be laid off if you were in a corporate job. You'd be laid off. But wait, we can recall you. You're just currently laid off. If we need you, we can call you back.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is if I was 28 days without pay, I would not be available to them. But here's what I think is really fascinating. I heard this in the news earlier this week. There's a number of federal employee unions that have filed lawsuits against the federal government itself.
Yeah.
Under
So the one that really gets me
I feel like it's the Fourth Amendment.
It's the Fourth Amendment. Sixth Amendment.
Sixth Amendment.
I think it's the sixth.
It's the basically illegal withholdings of earnings.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the idea that you can't. It's under cordoning. I think I can't remember.
That's speedy trial. No. It's the fourth. It's the Fourth Amendment.
Is it?
Yeah. Unreasonable searches and seizures. Basically, they're saying their argument is that the federal government being shut down for as long as it has because of the way in which the president is doing it is an unlawful seizure of their wages.
It's also the first part of it, which is to be secure in your home.
Right.
Right to people to be secure in their persons, houses, mm-hmm. papers, and effects. And then the next part is searches and seizures. So...
they're arguing this is a seizure
they're arguing to say that the government is removing their ability to have security.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because I can't be secure in my home because I'm going to lose my home.
Yep.
There are people I've read stories whether it's AOC who's putting it up there or Stephanie Murphy or other folks that are out there. Now, it's so funny how it's all Dems. It's all people of the Democratic Party who are putting these stories out there.
Right.
Everybody, it seems like the Republican Party, you know, they're just going on with business as usual in the Senate and doing their own meetings and whatnot, even though everything's furloughed. They don't really care. It's like, oh, no, it's okay. It's cool. We're just going to keep doing, you know, having our committee meetings, you know, and then, it's the weekend. We're going home.
Yeah.
You know, and the president has picked on everybody about that.
Literally everyone.
Everyone. It's like, you guys, you Dems need to come here and you need to sit down with me. Guess what, bully? This is a bully.
No. Here's what really pisses me off about that, right? It's not about whether or not the Dems need to come sit down with him.
No.
The Democrats, within 2 days of taking office in the new Congress, proposed a spending bill that would reopen the government.
Right.
This was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was three weeks ago. It was January the 5th.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks ago.
So it's been 13 days.
Yeah,
okay?
2 weeks ago.
13 days ago, they came up with a spending bill that would get the government open with a stipend to spend money on border security and the opportunity to reopen negotiations on the wall.
Right.
The president didn't see the bill. He refused it.
So Well, no. I think Mitch McConnell didn't let it go to
him. Well, that was a House bill.
That was a House bill.
But my point being, the Democrats, within 2 days, had a functioning bill ready to go. And here the president says 3 weeks later, you guys just aren't willing to talk to me and do the thing that I wanted. It's not about conversation because you're not compromising either, Mr. President.
So we can flash back further to before the entire shutdown occurred. Mm-hmm. A proposal was put forward to the president. The president rejected it, or it was rejected because it didn't have the wall in it.
Right.
And that had $1.7 billion in it for the wall.
Yep.
Last year, $21.7 billion were given for border security within the budget. Mm-hmm. $21.7 billion.
To be spent at the discretion of the Department of Homeland Security, by
the way. Correct. And $1.7 was specifically for the wall.
Yep.
And
so the president comes back and says, well, that wasn't enough last year. I want five and then 5.7. I want 5.7. But when the Senate committee asked the question, could you give us a litany of how you're going to spend that money, that specific 5 points, that additional $4 billion, they had no answer. Just give us the money. And so the people who were in the committee that actually does that does that information, turned around and said, I'm sorry, no, we're not going to permit you to just have a blank $4 billion additional funding to do that. So that's where the impasse started, and it wasn't the Dems. It was a committee, a Senate committee made up of Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I mean, every committee that we have within Congress is made up of both parties.
Right.
It's almost like
it's planned to be bipartisan.
It's checked and balanced. Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's almost like the president just doesn't understand how the government works.
No, that's very clear.
That's very clear. He doesn't know how the government works.
I mean, he acts like he is an authoritarian dictator. You know, ready to have her sweet 16 party, you know, a year early just because she can. And
now,
daddy bless her. But
we're big fans on the One Man Revolution podcast.
Oh.
Thank you for that blowjob. All right. We are big. We are very big fans of. You're a bastard. Of people turning to us, and if you wouldn't have said anything, everything would have been fine. We're big fans of checking the president for what he does.
Correct.
And one of the biggest things that we've been that has been happening is that he consistently makes these wide sweeping statements that mean nothing.
Correct.
And so when we look at this, we're shutting down the Dems. Dems shut this down. Mm-hmm. It's all their fault. Mm-hmm. And then you look at him when he said the words, I'm going to shut the government down. Mm-hmm. And then he said it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And then he did it. Yep. And then who did he blame?
The Democrats. When he specifically said, and it's weird how quick, goldfish memory.
Yeah.
How he said very specifically, I will close the government, and it will be my responsibility because I'm going to do a thing.
Right.
And then he did that. And then he realized that the president is only one-third of the federal government.
Right.
And the president doesn't get to write the budget.
Right.
The president can only sign a budget.
Right. So here's the thing. We're also big fans of the magician model for the president. Look what's over here in this hand.
Yes.
Look over here. Mm-hmm. You see this red ball? You see this red ball?
Get it.
You see it? Where'd it go? Well, wait a minute. Where's your other hand?
Right.
What are you doing with your other hand
now? Stop shaking so much.
Yeah. What are you doing? Hey, because that's what he's doing with this.
Absolutely.
The noose is tightening. Mm-hmm. You have people like Michael Cohen.
Oh, Mr. Cohen.
Mr. Cohen. Oh, the Mr. one that got Cohen. 3 years.
Before the latest things came out.
Yeah.
This one's really fun. So in case you don't know, telling somebody to testify falsely.
Yeah.
is a felony.
Oh, it is a felony, yes.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, it's a felony.
And that's in any level of court.
Yeah.
More so to the Congress.
Yeah.
And
isn't that a high crime?
It might be a high crime.
Yeah.
Mr. Cohen.
Like, so wait, hold on. High crime as in would have been hanged?
Knocking
like,
on treason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Later on.
Knocking on treason.
In the town
open
square.
Open treason.
You can make an argument with enough evidence that it is treason, or you can just send them to a federal prison forever.
Orange
forever.
Is such a bad color for him.
Got it.
No, he wears it every day.
No, it'll be such a bad color. It'll clash so bad. Badly.
God damn it. Anyway, so what? Mr. Cohen.
Okay.
Mr. Cohen has released some documentation, or rather, some documentation has been released from the Mueller investigation that indicates... That Mr. Cohen took specific order from President Trump to lie to Congress about the nature of his meetings with the Russians and the Trump Tower business negotiations in 2016.
Right. Okay.
And this kind of comes back to all the things that we said.
Oh, yeah. We said it.
When we relaunched the damn show in 2016.
Yep.
The man is in the pocket to the Russians for the tune of $500 million.
Yep.
We knew this.
Yep.
Michael Cohen, his lawyer, who was part of the negotiating team for that business deal, continued with the business negotiations during the campaign.
And he's admitted to that. And the president said, yeah, but there's no problem. There's no problem with me doing that. No, totally fine. Everything's fine.
And then I'm trying to find the link that I saved, but somebody else came out with violations of the Emoluments Clause as well.
Oh, I saw that one, but I can't remember who it is.
I got to find it. But the point being that, as you said, Revolutionary, the news is tightening. Mueller's investigation's closing in. And the president, who has a certain set of skills, it cannot be denied.
Right.
The man knows how to run a media circus. He can create it. He can maintain it. He can direct it how he wants. He wrote it in his book.
Yeah.
He specifically told the press what his game plan is for manipulating the press. Yeah. And they continue to fall for it. It's really frustrating. But the point being, we have multiple facets of this where all the puzzle pieces are just kind of falling in.
Well, in this whole thing, he started out with there was no contact. Oh, wait, no, the contacts weren't planned. No, wait, it was planned, but not for the campaign. Oh, no, wait. All right, it was with the campaign, but it wasn't meaningful, and we didn't do anything with that. No, we didn't really collude. Oh, but if we did, collusion's not a crime.
Which it isn't.
What's that?
Collusion is not a crime.
Yeah, collusion's not a crime. Oh, no, and you know what? By the way, and I can't collude if I don't know Vladimir Putin. And now we're getting to the point where it's, well, maybe someone colluded, but it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do it.
But now this is the next step with Michael Cohen.
This is it. Yeah.
I did direct him to say that, but what's the big deal? And absolutely. I know that's the next statement.
Absolutely.
But what's the big deal?
So somebody put it really well. Basically, the president in what he does, his manipulation of the press, they are going to inundate the press circuit with lots of little bits of information. A tweet there, a statement there, a thing there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, look at what Giuliani said.
Oh.
Giuliani backtracked hardcore.
That eye roll was
so bad.
Hear the eye roll. I forget the specifics, but Giuliani had another like bombshell statement that he made this week.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you this is in some way a coordinated series of leaks of little information to inundate everybody with all of this information to where, for whatever reason,
it's again
confirmation of election manipulation becomes
But with all of that stuff going on,
strike one.
Yep.
With all of that confirmation of those things going on, what does the president do?
Tweet.
The president tweets something. He says something. He goes out and
he
sensationalizes the border again.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Every time something's going on where, like I said, nothing in my sleeve, nothing on my hand.
Nothing in my
hat.
What
are you looking at? Why are you looking at my hat? Don't look at my hat right now. I'm putting something in my hat with my other hand.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm,
he is that type of magician, a manipulator. And all of this is
sleight
manipulation. It's all sleight of hand.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, what about this thing? You know, we're going to argue that Nancy Pelosi and the Dems are doing all these different things because they don't want border security.
Right.
Oh, and Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, third in charge.
Third in line.
So if the president gets impeached and Pence gets taken with him, or if for some reason they get rid of that top level because it's all bad, because it was all collusion and whatever, then she becomes president of the United States.
Correct.
And boom.
To be clear.
Never has happened.
The comrade does not endorse this particular timeline. I don't think that's where she should be.
Well, but that's the law.
I think she needs to retire.
But that's the law, and that is how the government is supposed to work. The Speaker of the House becomes president. What did he do this week to her?
Oh, well, let's really back up the story there, okay? So here's the thing. The State of the Union Address.
Oh, yes.
Which is an annual thing, I believe.
Sure.
The last weekend of January every year.
It is.
The president speaks to the House of Representatives as to the State of the Union.
Televised.
Here's the thing.
Horrible ratings. Terrible.
Always.
The president technically must be invited
by
the Speaker of the House
to
present the State of the Union to the House of Representatives.
Yep.
It's a formal thing because in the past we haven't had a position where it's necessary to actually deny the man access to the House.
Yeah.
But Nancy Pelosi specifically said, Mr. President, due to the nature of our government shutdown and due to our security concerns as a result
of it.
That
it's secure because the Secret Service is current. A lot of the Secret Service are currently furloughed. They can't do the background checks on the people that would be brought in. Mm-hmm. And the president wants to bring all kinds of people who've been affected, in large quotes, affected by immigrants. Mm-hmm. Now, the fun part about that is you really want to check out those stories. You want the FBI and the Secret Service to check these people out because they are going to be in a room with the most powerful people in the country. All
the
of them
running it
at one time.
Yep.
President,
yep.
Vice President, Speaker of the House. You could take out, what was the name of Designated Survivor, the Kiefer Sutherland
show. I watched the first five episodes of that. It's actually pretty good.
The first season of it's great.
I'm missing.
Where there's a Designated Survivor that they appoint. They say, you are not allowed to come. You're a member of the government. It's usually a mid-level or lower-level cabinet person who they go into a bunker during the State of the Union. And if something were to have happened to all of them, biological attack, nuclear attack, something, where it takes out everybody that's there, we have a functioning government because there is a line of secession, and someone in that line of secession, maybe a minor market person, is somewhere in a bunker making sure that our government will survive.
That's a real thing that happens,
not just the series.
Yeah,
it happens every time. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's why, you know, but here we have, so here we have a president who's saying, oh, I want to, you know, I want to bring all these people in who've been affected. Well, we have to check out their stories. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing, yeah.
Wait, does that mean I can go?
Yes.
Because today I got an email saying, hey, by the by, you're getting your food stamps through February, and you're getting them January 20th, and then after that, that's it.
Yep,
yep.
And that was it. That was all it said.
Yep.
It was just, hey.
Well, that's a federal program.
Well,
yeah.
So let's kind of back it up here to what we were talking about.
This is the back it up 2-step back around here.
I know. Do.
Yeah.
So the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, basically, and you know, calling apple an apple. This is a political move by her. This is her denying the president access to, as the thespian was so well put it, a publicity moment. This is a way for him to get in front of millions of people, get on television, be seen doing a thing. And Nancy Pelosi has denied this thing to the president, which we know that is his kryptonite.
Yeah.
If you deny the man attention, he loses his mind.
Yep.
So earlier this week, as is tradition for a new Congress, the leaders of the new Congress go on an international trip.
Goodwill.
I forget what it's called, but it's
a goodwill tour. Yeah,
it's basically a goodwill tour to kind of show face and be like, hey, this is a significant area. This is a place of sensitivity. We want to let you know we are here as the new leaders of the Congress. And we are here to support you.
And the trip was scheduled very, very succinctly.
Yep.
It was Washington to Brussels, meet with some folks at the EU, you know, saying, hi, this is the Speaker of the House and the Congress. And then they were going to Afghanistan, and then they were returning.
They weren't actually.
That's what they were doing. No, yeah, they were going to Afghanistan and returning. The Egypt part.
Oh, that's the okay.
Is garbage. Yeah, yeah. The Egypt part is garbage.
So here's what happened, and this is what the revolution is referring to.
Right.
The president, in response to this denial of access to the House of Representatives,
Nancy Pelosi canceled it last week.
Wrote an open letter. He tweeted it out and released it 45 minutes before the flight that was scheduled to take Pelosi and the Democratic leaders to Brussels.
To which he had canceled it last week. And right. There was no one even waiting for the bus.
So there's two levels to this, right? Yeah. So he basically made an open letter where he stated, I've canceled your trip. That's cool. He then later made another statement saying,
But comrade, he didn't cancel the trip. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You got to build it up, man. Oh, okay. You take the wind out of my sails and the story is lost.
Go ahead.
God. So he releases this statement and basically taking credit for canceling the trip that had already been canceled.
Right.
Then later he makes another statement saying, but it's okay if you take commercial flights.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. They were scheduled to go to a war zone.
Right.
You do not announce that you are traveling to a war zone. Yeah. So the president, either through brilliant manipulation or through horrible ignorance, completely submarined the whole trip because he publicly announced their destinations.
Right.
And that was a whole, and Speaker Pelosi went on the news either yesterday or today, I forget.
It was yesterday.
Stating basically, through the president's ignorance, we can't go now.
Right.
He's ruined this trip.
So the president as you can count.
I do it all the time. I count.
The president of the United States has the ability to, as the commander in chief, assign military assets. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the president took away the ability for Speaker Pelosi to take a military transport. That was the whole thing.
Correct.
And to be safe, surrounded by military personnel. Mm-hmm. Then by saying and making the statement, you can take a commercial flight and announcing their flight plan, Brussels. He also added Egypt in there, which was never a destination on their flight. There's no reason for them to go to Egypt.
Yeah. Maybe he thought that would be a great diversion.
Yeah. Yeah. Add it in there.
Yeah. Throw it in there and then it'll throw everybody off. And then they won't.
I don't think he plays three-dimensional chess. sorry, I don't think so.
I don't either.
But all of this whole thing, she had already canceled the trip before this. So the idling buses that were sent. Think about this for a second.
Yep.
The idling buses that were sent by the president because there was no one there to be picked up.
Okay.
Wait, really?
Because the trip was canceled the week before.
So you're saying, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sir. No, you got it. Go.
Yeah, you
got
to go. Yeah.
So you're saying that President Trump is being like Cher Horowitz in Clueless, sending flowers to herself.
Yes.
And wearing skimpy clothes.
Absolutely.
So that she can get gay, Christian, whatever he is.
Right.
Vice President.
His name is
Michael Pence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So he's literally just trying to put on a show, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
His entire life is a show.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, but like
that's it. That's a really well observed point because as we were saying earlier, all he does is manipulate the press. All he does is put on these shadow puppet shows where nothing is done, nothing is of significance, nothing has real meaning. He just stirs up the muck at the bottom of the pond and everything gets lost in the middle.
And remember, him being the master manipulator I think he's a bumbling manipulator, dotard manipulator.
The thing, and I say this, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but you cannot, and I love this quote, and you're going to love this, you cannot underestimate your enemy.
That's true.
If you underestimate the enemy, they win.
Yes. So, thank you, Sun Tzu.
So, yes, the man can be senile. Yes, the man is a narcissist. But on some level, he is intelligent enough to have been elected president.
Yes, true. Well, he's also intelligent enough to send his wife on government...
Melania.
Oh, okay. I said his wife. I didn't say the first lady.
Hey.
Took the government, she took a government jet from Florida hours after this entire thing with Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Like, just jumped on a plane. And that's ridiculous. So here we are in the shutdown. He's saying, you know, we can't send you into this war zone because we're shut down. You need to stay here and solve the shutdown. That was what it was over.
Yeah.
He wanted Nancy to come back here and solve that problem. That's what literally said that right there in the article that I read. He just wanted her to come back. You know, or not be allowed to leave, and he doesn't want anybody to leave Washington. That's why this whole thing is like him kicking rocks. Like, you can see him with his hands in his pockets in the backyard, just sitting there kicking rocks. Why won't anybody play with me? Kick rock.
He's wearing overalls.
No one wants to play with me. Kicks another rock. You know, I killed
shoves
all
of hands in pockets.
Yeah, shoves hand in pockets. I killed all of their pets, and I took all of their money, and I bullied everybody. But no one wants to play with me. And I don't understand why.
And anytime anybody kicks my rock, I punch him in the face.
That's right.
Yeah.
So here he keeps doing this. So that's another one. You can't take this plane. Oh, but my wife can take, you know, the government jet down to Mar-a-Lago.
It's
not
her fault.
Right. Exactly. I think what's gonna like I said last week, I think what's gonna stop this shutdown is golf.
I don't think so.
I really think that's what it's going to be.
No, because remember, the president's personal security is still being paid.
Yeah, that's true. But I still think, but the minute you get a picture of his ass on a golf course, you see what I'm talking about?
I'm really glad you bring that up, actually. Yeah. Here's what I think is so, just so ass backwards about this government shutdown.
Yeah.
Here we have a president who has decided that he's drawing his line in the sand over this one issue. He's gonna fix the border, and his base is all about it. They love this concept. They love the idea of artistic metal slats, and they love the idea of long, hard, straight things just being crammed in the middle of a weird, isolated place, and they're behind it until they lose their food stamps.
Yep, that's the first.
Until they lose TSA and, yep, and their flight abilities, until they lose FDA,
yep,
health safety inspections. Because guess what? When you're buying cheap food because you're on food stamps, odds are you're buying the lowest quality inspected stuff. And guess what the FDA isn't doing now?
They're not inspecting.
Guess what the EPA can't do?
Nope.
Guess what the Department of Commerce can't do? This cost us so much money.
Federal funding.
Yeah.
Has oversight.
Correct.
The people who do that oversight
aren't working.
Now, it's only, what was it, 20% of the overall federal government is on furlough.
It's more than that.
Oh, you said it's 800,000. It's
50. There's like a little over 2 million federal employees.
Right, so it's a little less than
800,000 of them are furloughed.
But that's affected.
Yeah.
So I think that the number is a little smaller. I heard a number where it was only... Where it was a smaller number of people.
Like, so 800,000 people not being paid. And like 400,000 not working or something.
Yeah, it's
like
a number of them not
all right,
working.
So let's call it a third.
Yeah, so it's a smaller number who aren't actually working.
Yeah.
So there are people who are there who aren't working or aren't happy. They're unhappy about the fact that they're there. So we have people who aren't verifying income.
Are active military members part of that list?
No, they're not. They're being paid by the DOD. The only ones that aren't being paid are the Coast Guard as we said before.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're required to work. Just like air traffic controllers.
Yep.
And more air traffic controllers are calling in sick.
Well, air traffic controllers are in a really odd spot because for those of you who are old enough to recall, President Reagan fixed the air traffic controller union strike.
Yep. By forcing them by government.
Well, he hired people.
Yeah, he did.
What he did was he said, all right, cool, we'll just bring in other people. And then other people did air traffic controller work and got paid. And the people on strike were like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they're afraid of now is they're basically afraid that the current president will somehow find a way to like call upon the spirit of Reagan, to which they are just not the same kind of people. They're both senile though.
Yeah.
And he'll somehow find a way to keep things functioning. But I don't think the president is a good enough staff manager.
No, not at all.
To keep things running.
No.
I think he's actually counting on things stopping.
Well,
things grinding. Okay, Okay,
I was listening to NPR. This is what his base wants to do.
Well, but here's the thing. I was listening to NPR earlier this week, and they were talking about how federal inspectors at point of entry can't work.
Right.
Which means we can't import goods, which means steel, plastics, electronics. None of it can come in now.
Small parts.
Things are just rotting in harbors because we can't export and we can't import. So it's not even just whether or not we have access to certain goods and certain services. What we have now is all we get.
Produce at the border.
Yeah.
Right now, it's limes, again limes, because limes come from Mexico and South America. Mm-hmm. Limes went from being before the shutdown outside the bunker in Orlando, five or six for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're two for a dollar.
Are you serious?
Yep. Whoa.
Yep. There's a shortage of limes, and same thing with other citrus. And the reason for that is
it's all stuck,
and it's rotting.
It's rotting in a container
somewhere.
So the farmers that grew it can't sell it. The farmers
can't get loans either. They can't get all that money that $12 billion that they were going to be distributed.
They can't
distribute it because there's no one to distribute it. See all this fall about students. Today, yesterday was payday for my university. It was payday for. I mean, it was tuition payday for them to get them to do it. Well, federal financial aid isn't being distributed because it can't be verified.
Wow.
So even if it is verified, sorry, you're not getting that money until after they have time to distribute it. The longer it goes on, and there are students that are in my classes that are worried about getting kicked out of the university for non-payment, and you will get kicked out. By the way,
absolutely,
if you don't pay the bill, and they don't have a way to pay the bill because the money is distributed by federal financial aid.
And UCF suddenly drops.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
Get closer.
I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
You're too far away.
You're too far away.
I wasn't. No, my chin wasn't. Whatever.
There you go.
But UCF suddenly drops at a rate of 70,000 students to 35,000 students.
But that's a big problem.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the largest universities in the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
The largest. They could lose a significant. It could be very big. A significant number of students.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. No. It's so. Here's the thing, right? The whole conversation right now is, if you listen to the news, is other than Fox News, if you listen to real news, you will hear a lot of stories about federal employees, federal families, people who classically live paycheck to paycheck because the federal employment doesn't pay that well, are now like digging into savings, you know, taking on credit card debt, taking out loans just to pay their bills, and that's horrible.
Or having garage sales.
Or being told, as a member of the military, to sell your shit because that's the only way you're going to pay your bills this month.
You should start doing babysitting. You should start doing other barter. They actually said barter.
Nice.
Wow, really? Yeah.
So there's two things I take away from this, right? Number one, it's so much bigger than just the federal employees because of all the systems. And I feel like this is kind of funny, actually. This is a really great argument for smaller federal government because the more the more pies the federal government has its fingers in, the more things break when the federal government can't get its shit together.
Correct. Absolutely.
And two, socialism works, y'all.
It does.
Like on a small scale level, like local socialism, I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard of people just giving goods and services to people, to federal employees, to people who've been furloughed. They understand that, you know, their local economy, their local society runs on these people, and they're providing breakfast and coffee and services. And sometimes it's an IOU and sometimes it's just free. But people recognize as a group that it takes a village to survive crises.
Also, once enough people make enough, you can make your table longer. But if everybody there is scraping by, then you can't, and you have to rely on agencies and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which is funny. People don't realize we have NGOs running in our country, not just in Africa or other places.
Oh,
we have plenty of NGOs here.
Sure.
You know, food banks and Christian organizations that go out and, hey, you know, we're gonna say a sermon to you, but we'll give you a bowl of soup and a piece of bread.
Pray with us and you get some food. Hell yeah, I'll pray whatever the fuck you want.
I found something.
Hey, but very good. Where when you was this? Did this happen when you were in your teens?
I was today
no,
years old.
I found it today. hold on, I'm finding. Okay, so someone somewhere, I saw it on a meme on Facebook. Pray for Trump, Psalm 109.
Yes, eight. Yes.
Oh.
When I got home, I opened my Bible and the scripture and read it and started laughing. Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his days be few and brief,
yep.
And let others step forward to replace him.
Yeah.
I felt that that was very poignant. just, they're finally getting it. Good on ya.
No, I think that's just somebody being very clever with their Bible.
It is.
But I appreciate it.
But at the same time.
Why are you cutting out?
I don't know what's going on.
No, it's okay. I know what it is. Anyways, push the...
I'm right here.
There you go.
I'm right at the thing.
There it is, yeah. No, we think it was a little loose. Yeah.
Yes, I'm right here.
No, you're good.
I know how to use a microphone.
How to use a microphone.
Thespian.
Indeed. Thespians.
With a P, not a B. Thank you.
Thespian.
So, yeah. So, this whole week's been a mess.
Yeah.
You know what, though? We're all kind of worked up here. Do we have any positive news?
Oh, I have positive news. I do.
Let's go some well done's.
Congratulations on the 10-year challenge.
Yeah. I did.
Yes.
You know what?
Oh, wait.
Dude, we keep losing you there.
Hold on.
You gotta
grab
be
a
really,
different microphone.
Really specific in speaking into that mic.
Yeah, hit. Turn that one on. Hold on.
Yellow.
Hold on. Turn the yellow one. 6, 7.
Yes. Oh, God.
There it is.
Oh, ah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. You know what? Yeah. I partook in the 10-year challenge, and it was nice. It was a fun time to see myself in, you know, that far.
Well, Facebook surely appreciates it. So does
the government.
Instagram.
Yeah.
All of the researchers that are working on bettering computer vision and facial recognition.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? But you know what? Who also partook in this?
Yeah.
The comrade did.
So?
You did.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's
not
just me.
No,
we're not judging.
Relax. You're looking at me with judgment.
No,
judgmental eyes.
But here's why I was laughing about this.
You have your judging eyes.
Week.
I don't.
This is why I was laughing about this whole thing this week. Being a person who works in computer vision and social media, the best and most wonderful part about the entire someone coming up with this meme. Now, it could be anybody. Now, I know it sounds a conspiracy theory. This is why I'm here.
That's because that's what you do.
This is what I do. It seems like it was such a harmless idea, this harmless meme. All we need to do, that's all we have to do is, you know, is take a picture of yourself from 10 years ago. Take a picture now. Oh, look, I'm different. I'm better. Look how good I've aged. Look how much better looking I am.
Look at my hashtag glow up.
Look at my, glow up, all that great stuff. But if you want to say something nefarious that could occur, it's allowing computer vision to hone itself and... you're allowing crowdsourcing to do the work for you. So now what you're doing is it's like you put, this is a person, this is them age 10 years. This is a person, and this is them age 20 years. This is a person, this is them, and they were age 5 years. Now, I had people who yelled at me and said, well, you know, Facebook always already has all that information. Yes, true. But Facebook isn't the one that asked you to do the meme, you moron.
Who did that?
It came out, it just came out somewhere on Twitter or one of those things.
Isn't that amazing how quickly these things
transcend? Wait, so does that mean it's because somebody did a hashtag?
Yes.
Whatever, because I didn't do a hashtag with mine. Right. I just posted two pictures.
But you saw people in your feed.
But you saw people in your feed doing it, and then someone saw it somewhere.
Now, let's also clarify that a lot of people are doing this on Facebook, and Facebook might be in a lot of trouble for its lack of scruples when it comes to privacy.
Sure.
Scruples, that's a good word.
It is a good word. Scruples, yeah.
Scruples.
But it's lack
true.
Thereof.
But it's true. I mean, so be wary of any of these things. My other favorite one is when people go, oh, this looks cute. What's your mother's maiden name? Oh, it's this. Oh, what's your favorite color? Oh, it's this. What was your first car? Oh, it's this. Hey, try this. It's really cool. This is a great flashback thing to do. Mm-hmm. We should all do this. Well, what you're doing is you're putting all of your security questions in that you would enter
that
if you were
I
doing
do
credit
know.
Card information.
Yeah, that I do know.
But I just saw one last week that a bunch of people did again.
Yeah.
It starts out very innocent and then turns into security questions.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So be very aware. I know that I'm always, we were trying to do well done, but I think that is a well done.
I think so too. I think it's a well done to whoever created the trend.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a well done to brilliant social engineering.
Social engineering.
And also, you know, as I was thrown under the bus so thoroughly, I did.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. But also. I fully acknowledge and I fully embrace our new Google overlords. and I, for one, will help lead the rebellion against the Facebook scourge.
Now I have a serious well done of the week. Jose Andres.
Oh, very good.
The chef.
Yes.
He is opening emergency kitchens in D.C. to feed federal employees and their families that are Socialism. Affected by the shutdown. Now, if you don't know, Jose Andres is... He should get a Nobel Peace Prize soon because of his humanitarian efforts. He's a chef. He has many of those, the restaurants that have Michelin stars. He's got Michelin star restaurants, yeah. Which are destination restaurants. He's a wealthy man, but he's also like the father of modern gastronomy. I mean, a modern molecular gastronomy. Lots of different things that he has done. Yeah, if you watch a show about cooking, someone will go and treat his restaurant like Mecca, okay? Because it's a place where cool things happen. So he also, when the hurricanes hit, when the earthquake hit Haiti, he opened up kitchens. When the hurricanes hit Puerto Rico, he opened up kitchens. When the hurricanes hit Houston, he opened up kitchens. He personally feeds people.
Cool.
And it's not that they're gourmet meals. He says they're not gourmet meals. They are meals. And if you have dietary requirements, he will find a way to meet them. And he doesn't cook. He doesn't do what the Americans do, which is what we do with our charity organizations.
We feed college grads fast food.
Well, what we do is we come in with like the Blue Cross Blue Shield and we hand out MREs. Well, an MRE is garbage, meal ready to eat. No. It's a military ration. It's not food. And most people, when they get that, they turn their noses up at it. Or we bring them rice. Or we bring them, you know, just like beans. Food. We just bring them, here's a bag of rice. And they go, well, that's great. I have no potable water to make rice. Okay? So what he does is he gets on the ground. He actually cooks the food of the region so people will eat it. Mm-hmm. And distributes food to them that they can take home and continue to eat. Okay? So, that's man, incredible. One Man Revolution, well done of the week, day, year, you name it. For
Let's call it for the year.
Yeah, bro. For Chef Jose Andres. I love this
that's
man.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have a shout out to the Trump International Hotel in Washington.
Oh, boy. It's still in office.
They're doing really incredible business. This past April... T-Mobile announced a $26 billion merger with Sprint. But there's one thing, right? There's one thing that T-Mobile needed to do. It needed the Trump administration to approve this merger deal. Now, the day after they announced the merger...
Oh, boy.
Staffers at the Trump International Hotel were handed a list of incoming VIP arrivals that included 9 of T-Mobile's top executives... So I want to give a shout out to the Trump International Hotel for maintaining immaculate marketing material, because clearly there's no other reason why anybody looking for the president's approval would stay at the president's hotel.
But it's okay because he doesn't actually have any interest in any of that business. You know,
can I give another rather tongue-in-cheek shout out?
Just sure, go ahead. Unless we have an important one like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez literally playing # Where's Mitch? And she was running around Washington, D.C. with a group of other new female Democratic congresswomen riding on the shuttles, riding on the trains, wandering around congressional halls, looking for Mitch McConnell.
That is amazing.
And it literally, the hashtag trended, hashtag where's Mitch?
Great. Oh, she's
so good.
So good.
And she did not find him.
No.
No. Why would she?
He left. Didn't he leave?
He disappeared.
He went home.
He went home.
Speaking of Washington executives and whatever.
I love AOC so much.
I want to give
She sounds like a new spirit animal.
Yeah, she is.
No. AOC is the show's spirit animal.
Yeah, she is.
She is. She is everything we asked for.
Everything we asked for. Yeah.
But not from our district.
Yes.
That's okay. We love
Stephanie Murphy.
Stephanie, thank you. I was Sylvester was in my mind. Sylvester. Very not right.
Sylvester Murphy.
Very not right. So anyway, I want to give a one-man revolution shout-out to Vice President Pence.
What?
Oh, boy. Really?
Vice President Pence went on record 2 days ago, 4:07 p.m. very specifically, declaring... And congratulations, because this is incredible.
He's gay?
Declared ISIS has been defeated. And then no less than 2 hours later.
Major ISIS action.
ISIS decided to suicide bomb a facility that had U.S. citizens in it, including two members of the U.S. Armed Forces who were killed. So, yeah. Which ISIS was defeated?
Almighty ISIS from the old Shazam cartoon?
Yes. Yep, that sounds about
you know
right.
Yeah. We got
That's
him.
It.
Yeah.
We got it.
We got him.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
Good
him.
Job.
Yeah.
It's just the other ISIS that hasn't been defeated.
Wow.
Well, we defeated ISIS. That was is. Yeah.
It depends on what is.
It depends on what is. Yeah. God. This is a way we can blame it on the Clintons.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
but
man.
That's okay. Did you hear Vice President Pence's wife got a new job?
Oh, yeah. What position was it?
She's working in a school. Yeah, that particular school has an anti-homosexuality policy and will kick the students out.
Students.
And you're banned if you are gay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I give a not sarcastic
shout
out? Of course.
To those who are still working for no paycheck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That is, you know what? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. The furloughed federal workers, not only the ones that were sent home and told you're a non-essential employee, because I can't imagine working for some place for years and then being told, nah, you know what? You're non-essential. That's hard enough. For those of you going into work every single day and then playing Kanye and Jay-Z over the PA system, but you're doing it for free, you're the real heroes.
You are.
You guys are the real
not
heroes.
All heroes have capes.
Yep. But no,
capes.
Did y'all hear about the TSA?
Yeah.
Playing like uncensored like Snoop Dogg and Kanye over.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Speakers.
It's awesome.
Great.
I love it.
Yeah. Go them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. Play what makes you feel good.
That's right. Play that funky music, white boy.
Play the fucking music, white boy.
That's right.
Something like that.
It's a word like that. It's somewhere in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a good bombshell to end on. What do y'all
think? It is. Absolutely.
Thanks.
So I also want to kind of end on one last positive note, which in a recent study, it was found that dark roast coffee products protect your DNA from damage. So if you drink dark roasted coffee, your DNA actually is a little stronger. Yeah. Now, you're asking, yeah, exactly. It's the way it should work.
Flexing.
So the group was allowed to drink a nice cup of Joe. So one group actually was allowed to drink coffee, and another group was not. And they tested their blood levels, and the level of DNA damage, the strand breakage in the DNA, was less in those that drank a cup of Joe every day.
Well, there you go.
Now, drink black coffee. We're not talking those crappuccinos and other things that fappuccinos or whatever those things are called. Those creamy ones. We're talking about the actual coffee.
Buy yourself some beans, throw them in a grinder, pour them in a French press, make yourself some real coffee.
Or pour over is fine.
That's right.
Pour over is
fine.
Have to be a fucking
French
press.
French press is better, but pour over is fine.
Dippy, dippy, whatever.
You know, and the other thing is, and I have to say,
I'm totally listening. I'm so invested.
I like my coffee like I like my women.
Strong, black, and free.
Hot and bitter.
Oh, there you go. Either way.
Yeah. I love all of those descriptions. That's great. Yeah. That's good.
And on that secondary bombshell,
all of you.
The Grand Tour is back.
Ah, we're watching that tonight.
We need to watch at least an episode.
Have
I almost
grande,
watched it last night.
See you, Latte. Goodbye.
Don't forget to watch the One Man Revolution podcast every week right here on Facebook. You can catch the actual podcast on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
Google Play, and
TuneIn Radio.
Or you can catch it on our
dedicated website, onemanrevolution.org,
which now has unlimited everything, thanks to a little bit of discussion and social engineering. All right, so I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
I'm the thespian.
And until next time, happy birthday, ghost!